Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is show number 441. We are in the book of Acts. We'll be starting in chapter 10. We'll see how far we get. My website, if you've missed any of my shows, you can listen or download them there. It's https, as in sugar, :// www.pastor-steve.com. Okay. That's my website. There are other Pastor Steves out there. And if you just Google Pastor Steve, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. But I'm the EFR Pastor Steve. Oh, man. Well, let's get into this. I love the book of Acts. It's just action-packed and full of good stuff. Verse 1 of chapter 10. Now there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a captain of what was called the Italian regiment. Okay. These are soldiers, Roman soldiers. Verse 2, dedicated and fearing Elohim with all his household, doing many kind deeds to the people and praying to Elohim always. Verse 3. He clearly saw in a vision, about the ninth hour of the day, a messenger of Elohim coming to him. That would be called an angel in your King James. And saying to him, Cornelius. Verse 4. and looking intently at him, and becoming afraid, he said, "What is it, Master?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your kind deeds have come up for remembrance before Elohim." Verse 5. "And now send men to Yafo, and send for Shimon, who is also called Kepha." That's Peter. Okay. "He is staying with Shimon, a leather tanner whose house is by the sea." Verse 7. "And when the messenger who spoke to him went away, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a dedicated soldier from among those who waited on him continually." Verse 8. "And having explained to them all, he sent them to Yafo." Verse 9 of chapter 10. And you can reference the book of Judith, chapter 8, verse 5. That's in your Apocrypha. Judith 8, 5. Okay. "And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Kepha went up to the housetop to pray about the sixth hour." And here's verse 10, but verses 10 through 14, 10 through 14, you can reference 4th Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 34. That's 1st, chapter 4th Maccabees, chapter 1, verse 34. Pardon me, I got a little tongue-tied there. Verse 10, "And he became hungry and wished to eat. But while they were preparing, he fell into a trance." Verse 11, "And he saw the heaven open, and a certain vessel like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth, in which were all kinds of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping creatures, and the birds of the heaven." Verse 13, "And a voice came to him, 'Rise up, Kepha, slay and eat.'" Verse 14, "But Kepha said, 'Not at all, Master, because I have never eaten what is common or unclean.'" All right, now we have to understand that this is a vision, and this does not have to do with food or animals. Okay, get that instilled in your mind. These are metaphorical creatures. They're not animals, okay? They don't stand for animals. So this does not mean that you can eat unclean things. It's about people, okay? This whole passage is about people, And I'll explain that in a little bit. And a voice came to him again the second time. What Elohim has cleansed, you do not consider common. Okay, that would be, if it were food not slaughtered in the kosher manner, whatever. Verse 16. And this took place three times. And the vessel was taken back to the heaven. Verse 17. And while Kepha was doubting within himself about what the vision might mean, look, the men who had been sent from Cornelius, having asked for the house of Shimon, stood at the gate. I'll get into an explanation here in a minute. Let me finish these. Verse 18, and calling out, they inquired whether Shimon, also known as Kepha, was staying there. Verse 19, and as Kepha was thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, see, three men seek you. Verse 20, but rise up, go down and go with them, not doubting at all, for I have sent them. These are men, okay? Now, Peter was more of a legalist than a lot of the other disciples, okay? He was a stickler that if you weren't from around there and you weren't a member of the local congregation, he didn't want to fool with you. Okay? You were not one of them. Okay? But these are Israelites that have come to see him that were not of them. They're still Israelites. Okay, so I'm setting this up so you understand. And the Spirit says, I have sent them. Verse 21. So Kepha went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, look, I am the one you seek. Why have you come? Verse 22. And they said, Cornelius, the captain, a righteous man and one who fears Elohim, and well spoken of by the entire nation of the Yahudim, that's the Judahites, the people of Judah, was instructed by a set apart messenger to send for you to his house and to hear words from you. Verse 23. So inviting them in, he housed them, and on the next day, Kepha went away with them, and some brothers from Yafo went with him. All right, now let's get a little history here. Let's stop. The Israelites discriminated against Israelites from Greece and Rome. All right? They were snotty, snobbish. Okay? They had a problem with that, and Peter was one of them. he was a bit of a snob. And he didn't want anything to do with anybody that wasn't one of the up-the-ups locally. So Peter had a problem, and Peter's going to get corrected about that problem here. This is a working of Yahweh. Verse 24. And the following day they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them, and having called together his relatives and close friends. Now these were all Israelites, but they were Roman soldiers and friends of this guy, but they were all of Israel. Verse 25. And it came to be that when Kepha entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and bowed before him. Verse 26. But Kepha raised him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself am also a man." Verse 27. And talking with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Verse 28. And he said to them, "You know that a Yahudi man is not allowed." All right, now I'm going to explain something in a minute. Was not allowed to associate with or go to one of another race. But Elohim has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. These were not people of other races. They were from other countries, but they were Israelites, and that deal with you're not allowed to go associate with or go to one of another race, that's a man-made law. And you see Matthew 15 verses 3 and 9, Matthew 15 verses 3 and 9, Mark 7, verses 7 and 8, Mark 7, 7 and 8, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14, 20 and 22. Right. It says right here in the notes on this verse, notes, any man common or unclean. It goes back to what he was shown. Those were symbolisms. Verse 29 here. Let's get into this. That is why I came without hesitation when I was sent for. So I ask, why have you sent for me? Now the word used for race here means ethnic group. I will not go to one of another race. Well, no, if it were actually a race, they could not. We are not to intermingle with other races, but other ethnic groups of Israelites, that's different. An Israelite is an Israelite, whether he's in Rome, whether he's in Washington, D.C., whether he's in Dallas, Texas, whether he's in Helsinki, Finland. We're in dispersion. We're scattered all over. All right. Well, these were men of dispersion. He wasn't talking to non-Israelites. And that's what they don't make clear a lot of times, especially in the King James. Verse 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and see, a man stood before me in shining garments. Verse 31. And said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your kind deeds were remembered before Elohim. Verse 32, now send to Yafo and call Shimon here, who is also called Kepha. He is staying in the house of Shimon, a leather tanner by the sea. When he comes, he shall speak to you. Verse 33, so I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. And now we are all present before Elohim to hear all that you have been commanded by Elohim. All right, verse 34. And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 for verse 34. Deuteronomy 10, 17. And opening his mouth, Kepha said, truly I see that Elohim shows no partiality. Verse 35. But in every nation, he who fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. All right, well, we're in every nation. Every nation. That's national designators. All right? Whatever. Pick one. There's an Israelite. Okay? Verse 36. He sent the word to the children of Israel, bringing the good news, peace through Yeshua, Messiah. He is master of all. Verse 37. You know what word came to be throughout all Yehuda, beginning from Galilee after the immersion which Yohanan, that's John the Baptist, proclaimed. Verse 38, how Elohim did anoint Yeshua of Nazareth with the set-apart spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for Elohim was with him. Verse 39. And we are witnesses of all he did, both in the country of the Yehudim, that's the Judahites, and in Jerusalem, whom they even killed by hanging on a timber. That was the crucifixion. Okay, it was the impalement, I should say. Because it wasn't a cross, okay? There was no crossbar, just a stake, vertical stake. And you can reference Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. That's Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. Now here's the testimony, verse 40. Elohim raised up this one on the third day, and let him be seen. Verse 41, not to all the people, but to witnesses, those having been chosen before by Elohim. Okay, special people. To us, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. Verse 42. And he commanded us to proclaim to the people and to witness that it is he who was appointed by Elohim to be judge of the living and the dead. Verse 43, to this one all the prophets bear witness that through his name, that's Yeshua, not Jesus, Yeshua, Everyone believing in him does receive forgiveness of sins. Verse 44. While Kepha was still speaking these words, the set-apart spirit fell upon all those hearing the word. Stop. Yahweh says, don't cast your pearls before swine. He would not send the set-apart spirit to non-Israelites. Now, would he? Would he? Think about it. He would not do that. Continuing on, verse 45. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Kepha, because the gift of the set apart spirit had been poured out on the nations also. Verse 46, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and extolling Elohim. Then Kepha answered. Verse 47, is anyone able to forbid water that these should not be immersed who have received the set apart spirit, even as also we? Meaning those that were of the circumcision, that were the uppity-ups, okay? Verse 48, and he commanded them to be immersed in the name of Yeshua Messiah. Then they asked him to remain a few days. Now, all right, let's get into an explanation. The nations. These were not racial aliens. These were Israelites dispersed in foreign nations. In the foreign nations, a lot of times, they didn't follow the commandment of circumcision. They didn't circumcise. So they were looked down on by the Israelites in Jerusalem that were compatriots of Kepha and Kepha himself. He had an ego, and I'm part of the circumcision, and I'm a real Israelite. Now, well, these others were real Israelites as well. But they were of the dispersion. And this is a correction of the error of Peter right here, that he is not to look down on those of the dispersion. They are equally as Israelite as he is, and they are equally as children of Elohim as he is. Now, your Judeo-Christian churches try to take these passages and say, well, everybody is equal. No. You have to understand who he's speaking to. They don't make this clear enough, especially in the King James, and they leave this open. For false interpretation and perversion by the Judeo-Christian churches. All right, now we're going to get into chapter 11, and it goes further with this. Verse 1 of chapter 11, and the emissaries and brothers who were in Yehuda heard that the nations also received the word of Elohim. And the nations means those Israelites dispersed in other nations. We've been run all over the place. It wasn't just for the people in Jerusalem and the land of Yehuda. It was for all Israel. Now, what did Yeshua say? I come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, those in dispersion that weren't in that immediate area. It's for all us Israelites all over the world. Wherever we are, if we are of pure blood Israel, this is for us. Okay, that's the deal. It is not for those not of Israel. He never said that. He never was inclusionary for non-Israelites. Yeshua is the kinsman redeemer for Israel. And those of us who are of Israel are the ones he came for. Let's get that straight right now. I am not a universalist. Nor do I say that non-Israelites are equal to Israelites. No way. Verse 1 of chapter 11. I'll read it again. And the emissaries and brothers who were in Yehuda heard that the nations of dispersion, also received the word of Elohim. Verse 2, and when Kepha went up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision were contending with him. See, they're following the Talmudic law. Verse 3, saying, you went in to uncircumcised men and ate with them. Well, they didn't practice circumcision. And these foreign nations, but they were still Israel. Now here we go. He's going to respond. But verse 4, but Kepha began and set it forth in order, saying. Verse 5. I was in the city of Yafo praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending like a great sheet, let down from the heaven by four corners, and it came to me. Verse 6, having looked into it, I perceived and I saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping creatures and the birds of heaven. Verse 7, and I heard a voice saying to me, rise up, Kepha, slay and eat. Verse 8, but I said, not at all, master, because whatever is common or unclean has never entered into my mouth. Verse 9, and the voice answered me again from the heaven, what Elohim has cleansed, you do not consider common. All right, the cleansing is by Yeshua Messiah. And if an Israelite has been from a foreign land and hasn't been circumcised in this day, he's still an Israelite and still under the new covenant. Just Israelites. Let's not go off on a tangent and say that Katsa hunters from Africa can be saved. Not so. Verse 10. And this took place three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Verse 11. And see, immediately three men stood before the house before where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Verse 12. And the Spirit said to me to go with them, not doubting at all. And these six brothers also went with me, and we went into the man's house. Verse 13. And he told us how he had seen a messenger standing in his house who said to him, send men to Yafo and call for Shimon, who is also called Kepha, that's Simon Peter. Okay. Verse 14, who shall speak to you words by which you shall be saved? By which you shall be saved, you and all your house. These were Israelites. Verse 15, and as I began to speak, the set-apart spirit fell upon them as upon us at the beginning. In other words, they are the same as we are. They are Israel. Verse 16, and I remember the word of the master, how he said, Yohanan, indeed immersed in water, but you shall be immersed in the set-apart spirit. In other words, John the Baptist baptized people for the remission of sins, but you'll be immersed in the set-apart spirit. Now you can reference Acts chapter 1, verse 5, on verse 16. Acts 1, 5. Okay, what did I miss a note here? I do believe I did. Oh, yes, I did. I'm sorry, I missed a set of notes for verse 42 of chapter 10. The little note indicator is so small, and even in this large print book, please correct this. On verse 42 of chapter 10, verse 42 of chapter 10, you need to see Acts 17:31, the book of John, chapter 5, verse 29. That's John 5:29. Psalm 96:13. Psalm 96, verse 13, Psalm 98, verse 9, Psalm 98, verse 9, and Revelations 19, verse 11, Revelations 19, 11. I'm sorry I missed that, but there's so much in these books. I had an error, so my bad. Please forgive me. Where were we? All right. And verse 17 of chapter 11. So if Elohim gave them the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Master Yeshua Messiah, how was I able to withstand Elohim? Now that was an ego breaker right there. It says so. Verse 18, and having heard this, they were silent. That shut them up, that killed that ego, and praised Elohim, saying, then Elohim has also given to the nations repentance to life. Right? That's the Israel nations. The nations in dispersion. Not just the people right there in Jerusalem. They had that ego problem. They were snobs. Well, let's stop that right there. And you can reference Acts chapter 10, verse 35 on that. Now, verse 19. You can reference Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Acts 8, 1 through 4. Verse 19 of chapter 11. Then indeed they who were scattered because of the pressure that arose over Stephanos, in other words, the threat that if you proclaim Yeshua Messiah, we're going to kill you. Well, they murdered Stephanos. They stoned him. And they were afraid. They had to run to save their lives. because of the pressure that arose over Stephanus, passed through to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Yahudim only. That's the disciples. You understand who these were? The disciples scattered after Stephanus' murder. And they only spoke to people from the land of Judah. They didn't speak to any of the others from any of the other tribes. Verse 20. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who, when they had come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, that's the Greeks, bringing the good news, the Master Yeshua. Those are Greek Israelites. We're talking only of Israelites here. They weren't speaking to anybody that was not of Israel blood. But they had restricted all this news to the people living in the land of Judah only. That was an error. They just got corrected. Okay? It stopped. Now it's going out everywhere to all Israelites in every land where they're scattered in the dispersion. This is the beginning of the great teaching to everybody that's of Israel all over. Verse 21. And the hand of the Master was with them, and a great number, having believed, turned to the Master. Verse 22. And word of it came to the ears of the assembly in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas to go as far as Antioch. Verse 23. Who, having come and seeing the favor of Elohim, was glad and encouraged them all with purpose of heart to cleave to the Master. Verse 24. Because he was a good man and filled with the set apart spirit and with belief, and large numbers were added to the Master. Verse 25. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to seek Shaul. Verse 26. And having found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to be that for an entire year they came together in the assembly and taught large numbers. And the taught ones were called Messianists first in Antioch. Not Christians, Messianists. Those that cleave to the Messiah. Okay. Verse 27. And in those days, prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch. Verse 28. And you can reference Acts chapter 21, verse 10. Acts 21, 10. And one of them, named Chagab, stood up and indicated by the Spirit that there was going to be a great scarcity of food all over the world, which also took place under Claudius Caesar. Verse 29. So the taught one, each according to his ability, decided to send relief to the brothers dwelling in Yehuda. There was a famine. verse 30. This they also did and sent it to the elders, that's the elders of the congregation, by the hands of Barnabas and Shaul. And that ends chapter 11. We're going to get into chapter 12 on the next show. We'll be doing two chapters per show because there's so many notes and such explanation is needed for a lot of things. We've seen here the quenching of the ego of the Israelites in Jerusalem. They had their egos squashed because they had been discriminating against anybody from any other part of the world. And this was wrong. They did not see that an Israelite is an Israelite, and that all Israelites are precious to Yahweh. All of us, regardless of where we are from. So they learned a hard lesson here. They had to get spiritually slapped down, so to speak, which is what happened. And it was all due to the good. It's to the glory of Yahweh. It opened things up. And now the gospel is all over to all the dispersed and all the Israel nations. You know, all the European, the white European nations and America and wherever there are Israelites, this word has gone out, and it's for us, it's to us. So that sort of takes care of the ego problem that they were having among the traditionalists that had been circumcised in the land of Yehuda. When the people were dispersed, they didn't circumcise in a lot of the other lands. Now, we know today in all of Israel that circumcision is a commandment. Okay? These others were not able to circumcise. Circumcision is one of the commandments. And it was taught along with the other commandments. Now we know. And in the modern day, today, there is no reason with proper medical procedures that the sons cannot be circumcised on the eighth day in an Israelite family. Not by a Mohel, not by a Jew, but by a doctor with proper methods. If you let them, if it's a Jewish doctor, you got a problem. Don't have a Jew do this to your children. Okay? Get a white Caucasian doctor. And if you have to hunt around for one, then that's what you do. You need to explain it to them. So that about wraps it up. That's about almost 50 minutes of show here. I don't have enough time to really get into chapter 12. I am recording this show for the day before the Feast of Tabernacles begins. Tabernacles begins on sundown of the 2nd. This show will air on the 1st, on a Monday. whatever it's going to, wherever it's going to air as a repeat in the future, doesn't really matter. When I am finished with the entire New Testament, it will be nothing but repeats from then on, and they will be in order daily. I'll do one book one day, like John 3 and 4 one day. John 5 and 6 will be the next day. John 7 and 8 will be the next day. It won't be split up. I'm doing three new shows a week now, and two reruns for people to play catch up. Wherever the reruns end, it will pick up there with continuing reruns in order. All the way, the first book of Genesis, all the way through the last book, Revelations. From then on. And it'll play over and over and over and over because we have new people listening all the time. I am finished with the prophets. The prophets are now available on my website. You can order them off the website. It is a bigger book even than the Torah because so many books are in it and there's so many notes. There's only five books in the Torah. There are a ton of them in the prophets. The prophets is the largest of the three volumes. And it cost a lot more to print and ship because it weighs so much more. It's a big book. I just worked like crazy on it for a long time, and it really has turned out well. I'm very pleased with it. And it's an easy-to-read format with big notes at the end of the chapter. It's all number 12 type. Where Yahweh is speaking, it's in bold, so you'll know when the words of Yahweh are being spoken. It's a good work. I'm very pleased, and I know the Father is pleased, and a lot of people are ordering them already. So, and I'm working on the Writings, which is the third book of the Old Testament. And I have had people ask me, are you going to do the Apocrypha and straighten out all the errors that they have anglicized in the Apocrypha? I'm considering it. Let me see when I get done with all the printing on the Old Testament, I'll really take a hard look at it because it really needs to be done. I need to put all the books together, including Jasher, with all my notes and everything. I need to publish that. So I'm really going to consider it, but I'm not getting any younger. But it will be in the future. I might actually take a little bit of break because I work very hard and it is such a joy to be part of this ministry and part of EFR. It has been a blessing. So Feast of Tabernacles is this week. I will be leaving on Tuesday. Eli and the crew, there's going to be a number of us, and we're going down to Tabernacles. It's going to be the biggest that we've had so far. It's just going to be a whole bunch of people. And what a blessing. What a blessing. Keep the feasts and praise Yahweh. Observe the Shabbat. Love your brother as yourself and extend him a helping hand if they need it. And I'm going to play Onward Christian Soldiers, and then I'm going to play a little tune, and may Yahweh bless and keep all of you. I love you, brothers and sisters. I love you in Yeshua Messiah.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Thank you.